Good morning, church. We will be reading from the 2nd of Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 1 up until 11, and chapter 9, verse 6 up until verse 13. Okay, sorry. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Verse 6. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. I move on to chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Praise God.
Amen. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now through Colin. Holy Spirit, please touch our hearts. Help us to have the courage to hear what you have to say to us. For your name's sake, amen.
I'm on loud at the moment. We are. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Thank you, Helen, for just that worship and the verses that Peter read for us in 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles handy, do keep 2 Corinthians open. And we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 4 as well. And it's talking about what the people were doing in giving, but it's talking so much more about what God was doing. The number of verses that Peter read, just in terms of God intending to bless, God wanting to bless. So we're in Acts chapter 4 this morning, and it seems that we're back in recently covered territory. If you're here in October, Andrew Winter spoke on Acts chapter 2, and he said all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to anyone who had need. In November, you remember Simon coming with that picture of the haystack at Wisley and the verse that God gave to Simon. From Malachi, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so there will be ample provision. And our title today from Acts 4 in our series, The Believers Share Their Possessions. I have to own up, when we looked at the schedule and I looked at this passage, I thought, really don't fancy that. And certainly, am I qualified to speak about that? Probably not. And anyway, isn't it a repeat of what we had just a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 2? And if you read the two passages alongside them, then yes, they are very similar themes in there. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, clearly felt it appropriate to repeat and to emphasize what he continually saw happening. We're in exciting times. We're in those early months after the resurrection. The band of believers that was just enough to fill one room on Easter Sunday has grown to over 5,000 people. Exciting things are happening. There's great power as the apostles preach about the resurrection. So let's now read today's passage, which is Acts chapter 4, and it's verse 32 to 36. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And first reading, it's all about what the people were doing, until I read it again and realized I'd missed out the bit in the middle. Look at the bit in the middle. God's grace was so powerfully at work. Isn't God's grace what we want to see here in our community? So how do we approach this subject today? Well, let me make an apology, a plea, and a promise. Get three things early. There's more to come. Firstly, the apology. I'm going to be talking about giving and sharing, and I will lapse unintentionally to talk about giving money. But giving is much more than that. It's about giving our time. It's about giving our possessions. It's about giving our talents. And it's also about generosity of spirit. But if I slip into talking about money, then please forgive me. Secondly, the plea. Nothing I say this morning is intended to suggest that we can buy God's favor. We can't. Each of us carries a debt before God that we cannot pay. In any way, he's already paid that bill. And thirdly, I'm not going to tell anyone this morning how much you should give. I'm going to duck that question, thank you very much. And I'll duck that question relying on scripture that Peter read for us. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's not about how much, it's about the feeling that goes with it. And as I was thinking about that, many of us give here through the banking system, and the Treasury in particular is very happy about that. But as we give through the banking system, we miss that moment when we make the donation. So I was thinking, perhaps as we review our bank statements from time to time, let's actually be cheerful as we consider the privilege that we have in sharing with God's work. Just by way of background, let's just remind ourselves of the warnings about relying on our own possessions. Jesus tells the story of the rich man we'll call him Sir Successful Barnes, the man who built Barnes and laying up good things for many years, and God says to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." You may have heard the story of the villagers who turned out for the funeral of a wealthy landowner. And drinks and nibbles are provided afterwards, and people are making those polite conversations that take place at those sort of events. And eventually one person asks the question that's on most people's lips or minds: how much did he leave? How much did he leave? And someone overhearing that conversation comes and just taps on the shoulder and replies, "Everything." Jesus in Matthew 6 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Make your choice. You can't serve both God and money." Paul wrote, "For godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, we take nothing out of it. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Many of those verses will be well known to us. I don't want to dilute their impact, but boy, do I need help in working out how to apply them in 2023. So I want to turn the subject to giving round and suggest giving arising from three things: gratitude for what God has done for us, glasses as we take time to see what God is doing, and generosity. If you want to take something away from this service this morning, it's this: pray for generosity. Giving flows out of generosity. Gratitude first for the gospel. As I said, the disciples and the early Christians in Jerusalem have had their lives turned upside down. The disciples who followed Jesus for 3 years thought their friend was dead, but he's come back to life. For Peter, who was wretched after denying Christ 3 times, has found his relationship restored. The crowd who had bayed for Jesus' death on Good Friday have found that God is not condemning them, but he's offering forgiveness and his very self through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thus, for the early believers, they can't stop celebrating what God is doing. Peter and John ended up in jail, as Helen told us last week, because they would not stop talking about the resurrection. The gospel has released people to know that God cares for them. The verse we read in Acts, the believers were one in heart. They broke bread and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. The verses that Peter read for us, Paul referring to the churches in Macedonia, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Giving is a response to gratitude. Secondly, giving arises when we see the vision to which we are invited to give. So let's put our glasses on. The early believers were seeing God at work. Numbers were growing. Miracles taking place. Now, it's not all about numbers. But as Simon said a month ago, we are so excited here by the number of new people who are visiting us week on week, not just on Sundays, but on Tuesdays. We're delighted that we have internationals here applying for membership. We have another baptismal service scheduled early in the new year. It's the privilege of partnering with the gospel. Paul wrote in Philippians, "I also pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus." The Macedonian people, again, that Peter read, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege the privilege in sharing this service to God's people. Our NMBC ethos is to explore, experience, and express the heart of God. We're partnering together, everyone here partnering together. So let's put our glasses on in that partnership. The vision of our Alpha course is not just for those who run it. Food Bank's vision is not just the project of Raywin and her fantastic team. Malden Manor Community Church is not just the thing of Andy and Sarah and others. Chung's evangelistic role, talking to people on the streets, is not just the thing that she is into. Roger and Aisha, working overseas in Bolivia, it's not just their thing. We're in partnership. Let's put our glasses on and see what God is doing. We do have tough decisions to make around our budget and our giving. But let's take time to look at the ministries that are taking place. Take a Sunday morning off and take a visit to the community church. They'd welcome you, 4 o'clock, Richard Chandler School, every Sunday afternoon. Grab Chung, probably not literally, but take her out for a coffee. Let her explain what she's been doing recently with Open Doors and the conversation she's having on the street. I wonder whether you remember the FT slogan. Give my age away. The FT slogan, no FT, no comment. Anyone remember that? Yes. Yeah, a few people. Excellent, still awake. Good. If you weren't reading the FT, you weren't finding out what was going on in the financial world, well, you wouldn't have a comment to make about it. Rest assured, we value everyone's comments here. And as we come together to make decisions budget-wise, let's be informed about the great things that are actually taking place here. Let's put on our glasses. Some, if not all, of the activities are tough, and we can be tempted to say, what's the point? Well, I heard an encouraging story. Some of you may have heard it already. Along a beach one day, high waves had brought in hundreds of starfish stranded on the beachside. The starfish squirming and struggling for life. And there's a young girl doing all she can to throw as many back into the surf. And along comes a man and says, what are you doing? You can't make any difference. There are far too many. Just leave them alone. So the girl turns and she picks up another one. And she flings it out as far as she can. And she says, well, it makes a difference to that one, doesn't it? The gospel changes lives individually. How grateful we are for it. What on earth has that got to do with giving? Well, we give to things we see. We give to things that we see the vision for. Take time. Let's put our glasses on. Giving from gratitude, giving when we see what's happening, and giving flowing out of generosity. And Peter read those verses from 2 Corinthians. At that time, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church who've begun a collection of money to send back to the distressed Christians in Jerusalem. As Paul is traveling on his journey, so the Macedonian churches have joined in. But the Corinthians have stopped, probably because there are other troubles going on there. And so Paul sends Titus back to the Corinthians with the second letter, and he says, come on, folks. Finish the job. Paul writes these words, whoever sows generously will reap generously. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Others will praise God for your generosity. Eugene Peterson, in his translation, describes one of the verses there, and I was thinking about this. You do what you can, not what you can't. The heart regulates the hands. The heart regulates the hands. Let's just think about opportunity in our small groups this week to think about heart regulating hands. So I looked up generosity on the web to get some definitions. And I came across these things. Generosity is more about cash and stuff. When you're forgiving and gentle to people, you show generosity of spirit. If you give others help or credit, that shows generosity. The world would certainly be a better place if more people showed generosity to one another. King Charles spoke of generosity of spirit at the Guildhall recently. And he said, reflecting on what makes the UK a special place and the perils it faces, he says, we stand at a watershed where the natural instinct of people to pull together and cooperate risks being drowned out by those who want to criticize, where civilized debate gives way to rancor and acrimony. We rely on that sense of public service which takes so many beyond the call of duty in difficult and dangerous circumstances. The institutions which rely on their labour and loyalty deserve the warmth of our appreciation, not the chill into which criticism can decay. Worth thinking about. Let's be generous in spirit. Let's stifle or quell our first voice that can say, that won't work. That's not possible. Let's be generous in spirit. Three more references that we can talk about in our small groups. Generosity, the habit of giving freely without expecting anything in return. Winston Churchill. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And how about this one? Our generosity is measured not by what we give, but by what we keep. My small group have had the benefit, or perhaps they'll probably say the chore, of hearing this talk as it's being prepared over the last few weeks. And they've heard me say that if we come with gratitude, if we put on our glasses and see the vision, if we act generously, then giving will take care of itself. But that's actually not the full answer. It's not half the answer. Our giving and our sharing needs to be and can be God-enabled and God-multiplied. Paul describes the act of giving as the grace of giving. The grace of giving. I find that an astonishing word. Grace is something that you describe Jesus as. It's the attribute of Jesus. And yet Paul says, now you excel at the grace of giving. He calls us to imitate as we give. And we can only possibly do that with his help. It's selfless giving. It's extensive giving. It's giving that is wholly for the benefit of others. It's giving that carries on giving. It's generous giving. Come back to 2 Corinthians that Peter read for us. How were the Macedonians enabled to give? And Paul wrote, we want you to know about the grace God has given to the Macedonian churches. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Corinthians gave graciously because God enabled them to do so. to get our giving in money, time, spirit right. So much do we need God's help. And he will do that. Those verses don't just talk about what we're doing. They talk so much more about what God wants to do. Our giving is God-enabled. It's also God-multiplied. The early Christians in Jerusalem gave and shared, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy person amongst them. Why are we surprised? The young boy presented 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. 5,000 people had their fill and were satisfied. There are so many fantastic things happening here. There's huge investment in time. We're able to give assistance to folk through our fellowship fund, through our investment in our staff, Andy, Simon, Chung and Sue. We are seeing great things being done by God. Individual lives are being changed. And Paul wrote, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Abound, I like that word, abound. You could throw a ball up in the air. We've got carpet here, so I can't actually do it. But you throw a ball up in the air, it will bounce wherever it goes. Once you've done that, you can't control where the bounce is. Golfers will know that as soon as you hit the ball, you've got no control where it's going. As we make our gift, we throw the ball up in the air. God determines where it bounces after that and the impact it will have. We underestimate the impact our apparently small contributions can make. If you want another analogy, our acts of giving and sharing create the ripple effect. Drop a small stone in a pond and just look at the ripples. We underestimate the impact God can have when we step out with a gift of our time, our ability, and our money. The early Christians were driven by gratitude and celebration of what God had done for them. With their glasses, they saw the opportunity of partnering with God that more people would know God's forgiveness. Their hearts were hearts of generosity. God enabled their giving, and God multiplied its effect. Let's be thankful. Let's take opportunities to find out what's happening here. And please, let's be generous, not just with our money, but with our time and with our spirit. And let's claim the promise that Peter read for us. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. May that be so here. Let's pray together. Father, in our community, you have given to so many of us so much. And it feels that that makes these words harder. But Lord, I pray and ask for each one of us that you would give us generosity. That we can give not from what we don't have, but that we can give from what we do have. Our money, our time, our possessions, our spirit. And Lord, please, will your grace enable us to do that? And will your grace abound? Lord, the individual lives here will be changed to know that you are a great God, that you are the God who forgives, that you are the God who gives us life. You are such a great God. We give you glory this morning.